And somebody put this in perspective for the doc in practice. We always, you know, we have a real obligation as a CME group to present balance. And you know, I mean, Tom, is this a kids don't do this at home type thing, or is this a legitimate strategy in an operable setting?
I think the thing is, if you've been doing this as long as Paul has, and as long as many of the people around the table have, in my clinic on Tuesday, I had four people with metastatic lung cancer who were out more than 10 years. And many of those people who are out there more than 10 years, we've done things like what Paul has done. And I've taken adrenals out. I've had patients had cervical node resections in settings that go against these kinds of evidence-based approaches. But if you select your patients well, and if the patient, most importantly, if the patient understands what a reach this is, what a departure from normal therapy it is, so at least you manage expectations. Because the vast majority of people that you go down this road with end up with widespread metastatic disease 6 to 8 months from now. That's what's likely for this doctor.
Well, this is not routine, but also, you know, his CT PET after cycle two, you know, was essentially normal. And that's not usual either.
My only problem with him is if you operate on his lung, I think he got operated on his spleen.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense not to operate on his spleen if you've gone this far.
You want to get that 1% of cells that are there.
Particularly if he had essentially a CR on CT PET and he still had microscopic viable tumor there, there's probably microscopic viable tumor.
1% in the primary.
Yeah, but there's probably still some in the spleen.
Wally?
You know, I agree with what Tom and others have said, and that is that unusual cases require unusual care. And the biggest concern that I have about this is doing no harm in a situation like this. And through a combination of luck and good care so far, this guy's probably benefited from most of his therapy. But we do put our patients at greater risk for iatrogenic effects if we start pushing the envelope in some cases in a non-wise way. But the only other thing I'll say is there is now a whole emerging area of investigation into the oligometastatic disease in lung cancer and other diseases, and what role the local regional therapies have in dealing with that, and are there biomarkers that can help predict which patients with splenic metastases could benefit from surgery, which patients with low-volume lung metastases might benefit from using some sort of stereotactic radioablation technique. And we're not very far down the road, but it is an emerging area of research.
So final comment from Tony.
I think that for the most part, you know, this doesn't work, but there are exceptional patients. And we go through this all the time. Patients have fabulous responses. And should you think outside the box? And that's basically what you're doing, is thinking outside the box. And one of the things that I find useful is when I start thinking that way is to bring it before a multidisciplinary board where we all, you know, have an input. And I think this helps a great deal. The other thing I wanted to mention was that if a patient has a long progression-free interval, those are the patients that you might be more likely to think outside the box. And also, I was going to mention about other local therapies for single metastases. And we have a cryoablation program, and then there's options to do, you know, like IMRT or whatever for some of these as opposed to going to surgery.
I mean, I had a patient with widespread metastatic disease who I actually sent for a lung transplant. Who had a lung transplant and is now 3 years without any disease. And before I sent the patient, I sent him to Vince to make sure Vince didn't think I was crazy, okay? To see how a second opinion, Vince said, it's wild, but you're not crazy. And the patient's doing wonderful.
But that's for a BACP. We have a protocol now. Yeah, we have it for lung only, diffuse. It's a different disease, you know, multifocal BAC, where we pioneered this, doing lung transplants.
But David, you have to understand, in the thoracic surgical community, the people in Boston, both at the MGH and the Brigham, thought we were crazy.
I know.